What is up, Rundown Nation? I am Woj.
And I'm Walt.
And this is the College Football Rundown. I'm back, Wal. I'm back.
You made it. You found your way. The people get to hear your voice once again, Mr. Woj.
Good episodes while I was gone, both weeks. Fantastic. Thank you, Story, for helping out and doing the best impression of me. Well done, sir.
He nailed it, although he got all his picks right, which kind of threw me off. He wasn't representing the Woj in that manner.
Oh,
You know,
come on. Come on.
You got to admit, dude, whenever this guy comes on the program,
he's unbelievable.
He hasn't lost a pick yet. It's incredible.
No,
I mean,
it's...
if you see his name on the show notes or the promotion, Mr. Hardways, Mike Story, make sure you listen to that episode because you're going to get a free winning pick, let me tell you.
There's probably some fans wishing I didn't come back and it was still Story just for the pick 'em. But hey, I got a win last week, so there's that. We'll get to that later, though, Wal. We got some stuff coming up, but we got some housekeeping. We didn't have a DraftKings league last week because I wasn't able to get it in there. I had some pretty spotty internet, but that wasn't an excuse. I just wasn't able to get in there to get in to get us our league, unfortunately. But I did win 2 weeks ago. Thank you, Story, for the shout out on that. He did the talk up on that. It was fantastic, which then propelled me into first place in both the points and the average placement. I'm at 2.125 in average placement. In points, I'm 1,290. Story is in second in both of those categories with a 2.5 and a 1,269. And JM Doof is in third in both of those categories with a 2.6. Right behind Story and 1267, also just a couple points behind Story in the best 8 week point totals Wall. There is no Wall on that board though.
No, there's not. I'm more surprised there's no Walrus up there, to be honest with you, because he's normally up there, but he's probably angry he didn't get his points this week trying
to
catch up.
He's probably seeing the collusion there. You
yeah,
know,
collusion.
I win a week and get in first place and then don't do a league. Yeah.
Collusion.
But hey, I'm going to get it up this week. Sorry about that, gentlemen. It is a good slate this week. Lots of value to be had, especially in wide receivers all the way around. But just interesting pricing for a couple of these games. We'll get to that in a little bit as well. But first off, last week, Wal, holy crap, we've had a couple roller coaster rides in the last couple weeks since these rankings, college football playoff rankings, have been coming out. And it definitely doesn't surprise me that number 16 Ole Miss upsets number 3 Georgia, Wal.
Well, it surprises me a little bit, although the SEC these days, I mean, who's going to beat who? We have no idea. No one really stands out as the best team in that conference, in my opinion, anyways. And I would think a lot of experts would agree, too. They just, I guess people say they beat up on themselves, but I don't see the real talent there compared to, you know, the conference like the Big Ten, which is their main opponent. But in this football game, Ole Miss, Georgia, Ole Miss takes them down 28-10. This game was in Mississippi. Ole Miss was the home team. Jackson Dart, almost 200 yards, not quite. It's kind of a low game for him. Normally gets more. 50 yards on the ground, though. That's going to help you get some DFS points. No, Woj?
Oh, yeah. And Ole Miss got a little fine there while fans stormed the field before the game was over.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, come on. I know we have a lot of Ole Miss fans that listen to us on the rundown, so I won't say anything bad about them, but come on. There's 16 seconds left. You don't know how football works. They got to run another play. They got him off the field. You could see Lane Kiffin. He was so angry. He knew fines were coming. 350K in fines, but the fans rushed on the field. 16 seconds left. They had to take them all off the field, take a knee, and then guess what, Woj? The fans rushed the field again, so they got another fine. It was incredible, but still, you got to love the enthusiasm for that Ole Miss football team.
Yeah, it's true. Number 5, Texas rolls Florida Wall. They dominate them.
Yeah, I get it. Texas has got a loss, but in my mind, they're the best team in the nation right now. And yes, even better than the Ducks. And I have a futures ticket on the Ducks and not the Longhorns. So that's something, me saying that. I just think they're a great football team. Florida, obviously, you know, they're not a very good football team. They got to play LSU, although it is at home. They are at home there down south in Florida this week. I don't think Florida gets much done throughout the rest of the year. Texas really kind of just a gimme game for them.
Yeah, Bama rolls LSU 42-13, Wall. Jalen Milroe did some damage on the ground. I think he had 4 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, that he's the guy we've talked about it on the program a couple times when Mr. Story was on here. I was talking about it with him. And Milroe, he's the one that's going to bring Bama into the playoffs if they can get there. He's the one that's going to eventually, if they can do it, get them to the championship game, and then he'll be the one, if they do it, that wins the championship game. And my whole point there is that this team right now is Mr. Jalen Milroe. Does it on the ground with his feet, does it in the air. Not only that, when he needs time, he creates time for that offensive line. If they're not on their, you know, best A game for the day, he can rush around, give his receivers a little more time to be open. Just an incredible, phenomenal quarterback. I think he should be high in the Heisman race. I know other people have him lower than it should be in my mind, but as goes Jalen Milroe, goes Alabama, Woj.
Yeah, I would agree. I think another big thing there for Alabama is just cutting down those penalties, just because, holy moly, they just nonstop in those big games just get penalty and penalty and penalty, and they can't score points. So, yeah, I think that's a big, big deal. But Missouri rallies past Oklahoma while they pull off the victory 30-23.
There you go. Scoop and score, right? Well, scoop and score. Give Mr. Story his backdoor cover, although I wouldn't really say that one's much of a backdoor cover. They did win the game. Missouri won the game. It wasn't looking good most of the game. Oklahoma was pretty much taking it to them for the first half and then some there in the third quarter. But all that matters at the end of the day is who won the football game. Missouri won it straight up and got Mr. Story that cover.
Yep. South Carolina cruises over Vanderbilt Wall 28-7. So I guess South Carolina didn't have a problem with them. What's up with all the other teams?
Yeah, I don't know, man. This one obviously disappointed me because it was my pick'em for last week, and Vanderbilt didn't come close to covering that number. They didn't look very good. South Carolina, I mean, they are on a hot streak. I was betting against a team that was hot, and you can say South Carolina is pretty hot right now. They just took down Vanderbilt. Again, I don't know what's going on there in that SEC, Woj.
Yeah, a couple of the notable games from last week. Georgia Tech beat Miami 28-23. So Miami drops a game there. Indiana does stay perfect, beating Michigan 20-15. First 10-win season in program history, Wall.
Hey, I love it. And I love the fact that I didn't even mention that Miami game in my favorite games as we're going through our notes, because it doesn't matter to me. I knew Miami was going to lose at some point. They're not that great of a team. But Indiana, I think they might be a good football team. Underestimated. I mean, you got zero losses. People are just talking trash about you. Zero losses matters, Woj.
Yeah, zero losses, and you've had a backup quarterback in for a couple games. So, I mean, that ride's pretty big in my book. Other one was Kansas beats Iowa State 45-36. Iowa State now loses two in a row after going unbeaten for a while there. And then Virginia does beat Pitt 24-19. I'm sure that makes you happy.
Oh, my good. Both those games make me happy. I'm smiling now. You can't see me. I'm smiling, but I'm a huge Jayhawks fan this week. I'll tell you that much.
All right, up for first game for this week, Wall. We are going to go a little academy team here. We got Tulane Green Wave versus Navy Midshipmen, Wall. And this is a pretty big game in the Mid-American Conference there, Wall.
It's a huge game, and not many people are talking about it, Woj.
I'm sorry, the AAC, not Mid-American. It's the American Athletic Conference. Well, I get all these American conferences mixed up, but go ahead.
You got it. And you got the two best teams in the AAC, for that matter, going against each other in this one, which makes it fantastic. I love the fact that Navy's home in this one, too. It's at Annapolis. You got Tulane favored by 7 points, over-under in this one, a 52.5. It is on that main slate, Woj. So you get your pick of the litter. Anyone you want in this game. Are you going to be taking Mr. Blake Horvath? Do you get enough points for a team like Navy that runs that option offense in DraftKings?
Possible, just because he gets a lot of TDs on the ground. He's that dual threat quarterback, and that means so much in DraftKings. So it is possible. They are on the slate. Tulane does have a pretty brutal pass or rush defense, though. But, I mean, they are giving up 4.3 yards per attempt. So we'll see. Only 115.4 yards on the ground per game. But if there was ever a team that was going to change that, it would definitely be Navy.
Absolutely. If you have a football team that is struggling with the rush on defense, you do not want to play Navy, right? No. You don't want to play Alabama. You don't want to play a team like Iowa. I get that. But really, the scheme of offense you don't want to play is a team like Navy, because they're going to run the ball, you know, three out of every four times, and it's going to be on that option. You better play well. You better not miss a tackle. You better get your man correctly. If you got the running back, you got the pitch man, better not be trying to tackle the quarterback. Otherwise, they're done for. So it's going to be exciting to watch to see how that plays out on the field. I really love when you get these games that, you know, kind of mean something. And we got the armed services involved, which is definitely why I wanted to talk about this one. Because, you know, it's a great thing when you get the Navy or Army to get the W, even Air Force, something like that. Everybody can cheer, right? All of us in America can cheer for that, right, Woj?
That is right. Yeah, I'd like to see Navy play Purdue. That'd be a rough one for Purdue.
Navy play Purdue. Oof,
Yeah.
that is a rough one. I mean, the thing with Tulane here is people don't give them credit. Navy's not going against Purdue this week. If Tulane plays Purdue, they don't tell my wife this, but they take down Purdue pretty handily. Tulane's a good football team. I mean, they got some
Yeah.
W's on the schedule. This the only L's they got are to Oklahoma and Kansas State, who are two pretty good football teams. So Navy is going against somebody this week, and it's going to be a show to watch.
Yeah, I mean they're going against a quarterback that has over 2,000 yards in the season and a 16-4 touchdown interception ratio wall. So you're going to have to pick up your defense here, and that's not even to talk about Malik Hughes, who's over 1,000-yard rusher on the season with 13 touchdowns as a running back. So, I mean that's just huge to have that multi-dual threat there. 50-50 game plan, passing and rushing. So, definitely, it's going to come down to either defense to see what they can do. Can you stop the Navy run and the option run, and what can the Navy defense do against that Tulane offense?
Agreed, Woj. Agreed.
All right, biggest game of the week. There aren't many this week, but this one is definitely the biggest. Tennessee Volunteers heading to play the Georgia Bulldogs. Wall, it's going to be a battle there in Sanford Stadium.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I mean, this SEC scheduling, you got Tennessee and Georgia playing each other, and then you got Alabama playing Mercer. Well, I mean,
Yeah.
come on. You got
Well, they're
Texas A.
all those SEC school cupcakes are coming up shortly, so just not their week for Tennessee or Georgia.
Yeah, it's insane. How do you do that as a conference? But that's what they do, I guess, and it works out for them. In this football game, I'm sure you're excited for it, even though when I tell you the over-under, you might be a little disappointed, although you probably know it. We got a spread of Georgia minus 10, 10 and a half, even 11 and a half in some books. Watch where you're shopping, depending what side you're betting on in this one for sure. Over-under of 48 and a half points, Woj.
Yeah. It's going to be a defensive battle. but the biggest thing here is what's on the line. I mean, both of these teams have playoff implications there. Tennessee needs to win this game to stay in the hunt for SEC championship, possibly. And not only that, if they lose this game, Wall, I don't know. Like, how do you keep them in the top 12? Like, I didn't even see what they were going into this week. I forgot to look at where they're number 12 right now. But if they lose this game, I mean, you're out. Tennessee's 7, and again, they've only had one loss, and that was in the conference. That was Vanderbilt, wasn't it, Wall?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Vanderbilt. Not a good loss, but nevertheless, like.
You're talking about Bama, right?
I'm talking about Tennessee. Who was Tennessee's loss to?
Tennessee,
I can't remember off the
Heupel
top of
was
my head.
crying about it. It was Arkansas, I want to say, the Razorback. Yeah, it was the
Okay.
Razorbacks.
Yeah, I mean I mean that's not a very good loss either, but nevertheless, like
No, it's not a good one.
the SEC has just been doing some crazy stuff this year, but this is there's playoff implications of this. Both of these teams are going to come out strong. Georgia definitely has the advantage here, being able to play in Athens, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if I was Georgia, I want to play this game at home because it, and you could tell I know that the playoff committee got it wrong because you mentioned this already. You got Tennessee at 7, and then they have Georgia at 12. Well, guess what? The people that actually have to put money on the line, that have to put money where their mouth is, they have Georgia as over 2-score favorites in this one. So how does that math line up? But still, if you're the Georgia Bulldogs, you really don't want to be playing this one in Tennessee. Tennessee can feed a lot off of that electric environment. There's a lot of Volunteers fans out there, which they're not my favorite people in the world, but there's a lot of them out there. So if you're playing at Tennessee, that line is probably completely different, probably under a touchdown. So yes, to answer your question, Georgia is happy there in Athens for this one.
Yeah, I don't know if Nico Imolava is going to play in this game, but if he is, the better offense is Tennessee than Georgia, especially at this point in the season. Yeah, I know Carson Beck has had crazy good games, but the guy's got a 17-12 touchdown interception ratio. He's been struggling this year, and that's not where they've been really struggling. They've been really struggling on the ground, Wall. I mean, Trevor Etienne only has 477 yards in the season. That's not very good for a Georgia running back. So you're having to rely on Carson Beck all this much. He's throwing a lot of picks. Georgia's never been one to have really crazy good receivers, good tight ends, sure, but never really awesome receivers. Arian Smith is their number one right now with 34 receptions and just over 500 yards. So Tennessee definitely has the better offense. So it's going to be a struggle to see what the Georgia defense, if they can slow that Tennessee offense down, because Georgia's just been struggling.
Yeah, slowing down the de or the offense is key. It also helps your defense because Tennessee, they move fast. You know, they move pretty fast, like an Ole Miss team, although not quite to that degree. And when they move fast, your defense, like they have trouble as far as getting their reads, as far as getting the play in time, as far as getting their subs. For example, sometimes they can get caught in a, you know, when Tennessee runs that fast offense, the defense like Georgia that subs people in and out because they got that depth, they can get caught with a sub coming in or out. And they can be a down a man for half a play or something like that. They get a penalty, you know, for too many men on the field. So really, Georgia is going to have to concentrate on that Tennessee offense and handling that tempo of theirs.
Latest news on Imalava is still he's practicing, but he's still in concussion protocol and he hasn't cleared yet. So if he doesn't get cleared by Saturday, he definitely won't play because he's still in that concussion protocol. So Gaston Moore will get the nod if he's not available, and he hasn't been all that great. And really hasn't thrown that much. So we have that going for him too. I mean, he's a 4-year player, but he just hasn't got much game experience, and this is going to be a big game in a hostile environment, Wall, so I wouldn't go for the backup quarterback.
No, neither would I, but I wouldn't. I mean, I hate to say it, but it, to be honest with you, they're playing Georgia. So Mr. Heupel gets in there probably with his Sharpie and checks the box for good to go on, Just checks it himself. Good to go.
All right, well, we got some DraftKings. You ready for these guys? I got some good ones for you this week.
Yeah, bring it on. I need
I think you'll
somebody.
like this first one. He might even be on your actual year-long team. Penn State's Catron Allen, running back
Yep,
for
he is.
4,900.
I got him, Mook.
They are playing one of the worst rush defenses in college football in Purdue. Singleton and Cam Wallace are both injured. Still unclear if either of those guys are going to play. Even if they do play, Allen's going to get touches, no matter what. But now he just gets more touches. And at 4,900, that's a steal again, versus one of the worst, if not the worst, rush defenses in college football, according to defense versus position in fantasy. So definitely look at that one. Remember this name, Walt? Tyler Shough.
Yeah, where was Shaw was from
Shough,
Ducks,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, they used to be at the
Yeah,
Ducks.
yep.
He went somewhere else too in between there. I can't remember where, but now
Yeah,
he's at
or
Louisville. He's 7,900. Steep price to pay for him because he's not very good, but he's playing the second worst secondary in the slate, or excuse me, playing the worst secondary in the slate. And Louisville's expected to score 39 points, so it's not a bad pickup there. I actually kind of like it. I don't know if you do, but a good way to stack them all would be obviously Ja'Cory Brooks. He's one of the top wide receivers probably in the slate, 7,700. But another person from Louisville, Chris Bell. He is the wide receiver number two. He's getting 13.3% of the targets compared to Brooks's 23.7. I mean, he's dirt cheap for having that bad of a secondary at only 3,500. Well, so at 3,500 bucks, you can get wide receiver number two on Louisville, who's playing against a team that just gives up chunks of yards through the air and chunks of touchdowns. So, those are your cheapos there, Wall. And I want everyone to look at that Baylor West Virginia game. Sawyer Robertson, everybody. Just look at everybody because they're all cheap. And that is the highest over-under slate on the books. But everyone is cheap. So if you need to fill some people in, just look at that game and start punching them in.
punch him in either side, Woj. It doesn't matter. You can be
It
in the
doesn't
scrimmage.
matter. I mean, implied points for West Virginia right now is 28.25. Baylor's 30.75. I do think Baylor has the edge in this game, even though they are away. But Sawyer Robinson's the only one that is over 7,500, and he's at 8,700. Makes sense. He scores a lot of points. Excuse me. But I mean, there are guys all around in here to pick. I mean, Sawyer Robinson's got to throw it to somebody, so take your pick. I mean, their number one wide receiver is only 4,700. Number two is 3,700. You look at the other side, their number one is 3,600. Their number two is 3,300. And that's a difference of like 2 percentage points in targets. So, I mean, There's plenty of value to be had in that game.
Well, I hope I remember that. Though I will say that the sexiest pick you gave, which was that Chris Bell on Louisville, 3,500. You give me a man for 3,500 votes, I'm going to take him. You know that every time
I mean,
because
if he scores
that's.
10 points, like even 10 points, I mean, I'll take 10 points out of a 3,500 player. That's as cheap as you can go.
Hey, that's the only reason I listen to this rundown show, Woj. Get that pick.
Yeah, let's go over a little bit of the rankings, Walt. So we had Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State to divvy it out there. And there's going to be a lot of shuffling. I know you're about to say that. There's going to be a lot of shuffling in the days to come here. But what are your thoughts on that next, those next four teams, the Indiana, BYU, Tennessee, Notre Dame?
I was hoping I'll answer it anyways. I'll answer a question you didn't ask. I like the first four. I mean, that's kind of how I'd put it myself, exactly how I put it. And a lot of people are, they have, gripes with that, Woj. There's a lot of people arguing and saying that the playoff committee really messed up. But one through four, man, I really like how they got it. And then you got five, Indiana, Woj. I don't mind that. You got a goose egg on your record. It's got to count for something, especially when you're playing in the toughest conference this year, the Big Ten. BYU, 9-0. Hey, Woj, they got a goose egg too. I get it that they haven't played quite the competition that a team like Tennessee or even Alabama has played, but still, I mean, they're 9-0, so I'm okay with the six. Tennessee there, Notre Dame. I guess I won't complain with that. Miami, I have no idea why they're anywhere near the top 15, but they're sitting at nine. I guess that's the one I'd complain about. They lost last week. They look terrible. They lost to Georgia Tech. I mean, they're in the ACC. You can't give them a lot of credit. Credit for what they've done because, in my opinion, they haven't done much, and then they just lost. So I guess that's the one problem I would have with those rankings in that area, Woj.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out with Army being 9-0. You have Tulane at 8-2, who's still undefeated in their conference at 6-0. They again, we just talked about, are going to play Navy, who's 7-2, just off this list. And then you have the BYU, which is 9-0. So these are going to be your teams fighting for that spot, wall, right? That extra spot, that fifth conference, highest conference champion. And right now, BYU's probably got the best chance. Army's got to play Tulane, obviously, still, and then they do play Navy. And I think, did we talk about this in the podcast yet? But they play Navy after the final rankings come out. So it no matter what happens in that game, it doesn't matter, Wall.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I believe we brought it up a couple weeks back, but yeah, that game, unfortunately, because as big as it is and as exciting as it is, it does not matter for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, BYU has to head to Kansas, Arizona State, and Houston. Houston's not that bad, but a Kansas and at Arizona State's a scary game. Whereas you have an Army team who's got to play, I mean, you're talking Notre Dame. That's a big game. That is their next game, not this weekend, but the following. They win that. That could propel them up into that top 12 wall.
I mean, yeah, I would hope so.
I mean, they only have two games left. I guess they don't have a conference championship in that league because they have a Notre Dame and a UTSA, unless their conference championship is that next week. It might be that one. It is that next week. Never mind. That was misspoken. So they still are going to have to play at Tulane. But if you beat Notre Dame and Tulane, I mean, I don't know. I think you're in over BYU in my eyes.
No, you'd have to be, Woj. I mean, it'd be
Yeah.
crazy if they didn't. I mean, Tulane's a fantastic. I just was talking about them earlier on this podcast. They're a fantastic football team. We don't need to tell anybody about Notre Dame. They're ranked 8 in the nation. Just look at the rankings.
Yeah.
So you beat both those teams and you're not in with a goose egg and the loss column. I mean, they're going to start burning down buildings. Let me tell you, Woj.
Right, well, last week we already talked about it. Story continues his dominance here of picking teams. He should just go pro in my mind. You had Vanderbilt plus four. Unfortunately, they decided this was the week they didn't want to score points, so you lost there against South Carolina. I had Colorado easily covered that with minus 3.5 versus one of the worst defenses in college football and Texas Tech. While this week, I am going to go Baylor minus 2.5. We just talked about that game. It's going to be a high scoring game, both sides. I think Baylor has the edge here, definitely with Sawyer Robinson, though. He's the best player on the field, and I'm going to stick with Baylor, at least covering that. I like the fact that I get a field goal here.
Yeah, that's huge. Make sure you know. I think you got that one off of DK. Some other books have -3, so you would get that push if you lost by a field goal exactly. Whereas here you're getting the W. So yeah, that's a huge thing. What you just mentioned there at -2.5. Baylor, I don't mind the pick. I don't like to bet against West Virginia when they're home because I seem to lose every time. So for some reason, I just stay away from it. You know, I bet Penn State a couple times there and lose those. I mean, bet against other games when West Virginia's home, lose those. Doesn't matter if they're the dog or the favorite. Well, I seem to lose it, so I stay away from them. I will bet this one though, because I always put a little bit of scratch on your pick. I like my pick a little better this week though. We talked about this BYU football team. They're 9-0, Woj. They're 9-0. They're ranked number 6 in the nation. They're only giving 2.5. Same your Baylor football team, your Baylor Bears. They're giving 2.5. So I like BYU to win the football game this week. It's a late one too, I think. Let me check the time. They're playing Kansas. It's at 9:15. Yeah, so we won't know till late
Yeah,
on this one. Late
late
game.
game.
I like them to beat Kansas. I know Kansas is coming off a win against Iowa State, which we talked about earlier in the episode, but you know how much credit I give Iowa State. So what does that mean to me? I like BYU at home -2.5.
Well, I like that it's late, because then I can fall asleep watching the game knowing I'm going to win money.
There you go. Well, just well said.
however, if they're losing at the point where I'm about to fall asleep, then I'll have bad dreams. So, hopefully that doesn't come to fruition.
It won't. It's my pick, Woj.
All right. Thanks for listening to the rundown. It was good to be back, Wall. We'll be back at you next week. I'll get the rundown league up for this week. I won't forget that. For you rundown addicts, rundown league addicts, DraftKings League. But I am Woj,
And I'm all.
and this was the College Football Rundown. Rundown Nation, thanks for listening to our episode. You can catch all of our podcasts and information on www.collegefootballrundown.com. We have upcoming games. We have SBI information on there. They're a big partner sponsor with us. If you want to sign up to their website, please use code RUNDOWN when you do that. It helps us out. It helps them out as well. But so much good information on that website. So please check them out. Please check our website out. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram is college_football_rundown. Please take a look, take some time. We do our weekly DraftKings League, so make sure to get in on that. All the information for that is on our website. Other than that, I'm Woj.
And I'm Wall.
And we are now definitely out. Thank you for listening.